You're listening to the Heroes Podcast Network.
Hello, all you friendly Force users out there. Welcome to another episode of Echo Station Podcast, where I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Chris.
Hello.
And we can hear you, because we've been having audio issues. We're very happy.
Yeah, it's been a night.
Yeah. This is another episode of Padme's Closet, and it's a very special one, because not only are we talking about three different outfits tonight, but we have a very special guest star, one Miss Luna Flair.
Yay! Hello! Thank you so much for having me on here for this episode. I'm very, very excited.
I find it very funny that we've only had you on the show for Padme episodes, and...
That's true.
You know, she is a controversial opinion, probably not, but she is the fashion plate of Star Wars, and a lot of her story is told through fashion, and that's what I've always really appreciated about her. And I have like a deep, unabiding love for her, and so whenever you want to have me on to discuss Padme stuff, I will gladly be on here to discuss Padme stuff. Thank you.
It's funny, I was thinking about it, we only have guests when we talk about female characters.
Is that the truth? Is that true? Mm-hmm. Huh.
Because we had Lydia on to talk about Carrie Fisher. And
right. And we've also had her on for Padme episodes, and we've had Luna on for the okay.
Yep, there you go, and that's it.
I think there are so many things to talk about with the female characters, especially like when you think about people in the fandom who feel underserved because they don't have a lot of female characters. And so anything that you can glean or anything that you can talk about these characters is just like, you want to talk about it for so, so long. So it's fun to talk about.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. So the Padme outfits we're talking about tonight, we have the lake dress where she famously kisses Anakin and we find out he doesn't like sand. We have the meadow dress. And then we have the official titling. It's called the fireside dress. But Chris, what do you call it?
It's the bondage dress.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's a BDSM dress.
There's no other descriptor for it, really.
Minus the whip, yeah.
Everybody I knew in the fandom has always called it the bondage dress. And then all of a sudden, like looking into it, I noticed a lot of people on the internet were calling it the fireside dress, and then Rebel Legion calls it the fireside dress, and I was like, what? Ugh. Don't sanitize it. Come on.
Yeah, don't sanitize it. We all know what it is.
We all know what it is.
Yeah.
We all know what this is.
We know. Yeah. So we'll talk about those three outfits. But first, a little Star Wars news. Star Wars Squadrons has dropped.
Pew, pew, pew.
And I have played it. And it is very, very fun.
I'm so envious.
For people like me who may not know exactly, so what is the game? Like, what's the gameplay? Like, what do you do in the game?
So it's very much a spiritual successor to Rogue Squadron, which Chris and I love that game.
Did you ever play that?
I never played Rogue Squadron. I'm not an avid gamer. I like looking at the art.
It's a joystick game.
Okay.
Yeah. Ideally, it's a joystick game, and you would play as like the iconic ships from Star Wars.
How fun!
But yeah, it was very fun.
This is a multiplayer version, so okay.
There is
really
a single player campaign. I will say that I got the campaign done in probably between 6 to 8 hours. It's a short single player, which we knew it was going to be for a game that's $40.
Their focus is
on multiplayer, so it makes sense.
No, that makes sense. Just like Battlefield.
Yeah, but it's still very fun. One of the characters is a dead ringer for our friend Carryout.
Oh, no.
Really?
She's an Imperial officer that like takes no shit and has like a Karen kind of haircut.
That sounds about right. If anyone has a Karen haircut in the Star Wars universe, it would be Carrie Out.
A Carrion?
Yeah.
A Carrie Out.
So it's a very fun game. It's, like I said, there's single player, which is between 6 to 8 hours. You get to flip between the Empire and the New Republic. Ooh. And then there is the multiplayer, which is really what they kind of focus on a lot, which is fleet battles where you take on capital ships and try to destroy those, and then just dogfighting.
Right?
Yes, so I can fight you.
So that was the big draw for us, was that we have different systems, but we can play with each other.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I'm liking that a lot more games are like cross-platform now. Yeah. And so like
at $40, it's nice. Super accessible.
Yeah.
Yes.
So everyone go ahead and pick up your copy of Rogue Squadrons.
Exactly. Yes, of Star Wars Squadrons. No, it's very fun. I love it. I was just playing a little bit of it a bit ago, and I had some kids talk some trash on me.
I mean, when you leave it open for them to do,
it's not hard really their to fly fault. A bomber. Look.
It's fine. I couldn't fly anything, so, you know.
It's hard to penetrate those shields.
Oh, I bet. Oh. What is this? What is this podcast rated?
You can cuss. It's fine. It's
okay, sure. Good.
Yeah, no, I drop F-bombs. I'm a terrible person.
Well, I just wanted to know if I can make noises about stuff.
Yes, you can make all yes, the you can. Noises.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Yeah, no.
And this is when we lose half of our listeners.
No, I'll keep it tasteful.
Oh, my God. Has there ever been a recording where I didn't make some terrible sexual reference?
There you go.
No.
Maybe like the Peter Mayhew tribute.
And even then, it was close.
And even then, I probably made a furry joke somewhere.
Yeah. Other news, Hasbro has released more Black Series figures.
Ooh.
And they look really good. They're the creme de la creme of Star Wars figures. And they also released, or going to release, rather, the Force FX Ahsoka Tano lightsabers.
Molly's gonna...
Oh, no.
So we have a friend who is obsessed with Ahsoka. And
yes.
is apparently going to just buy all of her lightsabers. Just all of them.
Every iteration of them. Every iteration. And,
yeah.
I mean,
well, what's nice about these is that they come... So they have a button. You can switch between... blue, green, and they're like lime green, yellow. Ooh. So you only need to buy two of them, and you can do whatever color you want.
That's amazing. Well, she, yeah. Molly / Ruby Silverado at Ruby_Silverado on Instagram. We were talking about this last night. She is kind of potentially on a mission to create all of her outfits and just like have a whole. Closet full of Ahsoka, so she has to have all the different kind of lightsabers to go with them. It's just accurate, and you don't want to be inaccurate. So,
well,
that's very fair.
If I had all, if I had money,
oh yeah,
for those absolutely. Kind of things, if I had more. Oh, yeah. Let me preface that with more money for
yes.
this kind of.
There
things,
we go.
Yes.
Then I would absolutely own more lightsabers than I already do, which is yes, not zero that. Number.
But it absolutely. Sucks, like the characters. Have like two lightsabers, you gotta buy two of them. I'm like, damn it.
Absolutely.
It's kind of unfair.
It is. Like, and I hope her designers are like, I'm really, really sorry, cosplayers, but you know that people just like to F cosplayers over all the time.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yes. As we know from the Critical Role fandom.
Oh my gosh. Anyone who listens to Critical Role just like, I'm sure hates all of the Mighty Nein just for their details, but what are you gonna do? And like, it gives you an excuse to upgrade your outfit. So yeah. That's actually kind of fun too.
Yes.
You don't have
I'm
to like.
I'm looking forward to new outfit upgrades. It's gonna be fun.
It's gonna be so cool. I'm very, very excited. I mean, I might have to like, if I'm doing outfit upgrades, I'm gonna have to switch characters. But yeah. like, it's
otherwise
fun.
You just show up as a skeleton. So.
Well, or yes, yeah, or like a stick in the ground with a coat on it.
Yes. Oh my God. That's so weird.
I know.
This is the part where Ian just goes off in his own little corner, like, and they're just gonna go off on their little.
Nope. Why don't you just listen to Critical Role so you don't feel left out? Calling you out on the internet.
This is where the mute button for Luna comes in handy.
Okay. All right.
Just mute.
Well then, you asked me to be here.
I know, and it was a mistake. Now.
Oh my gosh.
No, it's. Light on Star Wars news this week, which I'm fine with. I mean, there's nothing really, you know, big happening. Like I said, the big news was the Squadrons that came out. And they did say that if the game does well, which so far it has, they will hopefully be putting out some DLC, one.
Sweet.
And two, there'll be some kind of sequel, which I'm hoping takes place during the Clone Wars, because that would be very, very so fun.
Cool. That would be really cool. Like, as a game.
Chris and I love our Clone Wars, so...
Yeah.
We love that era.
I love how late Clone
But that's
Wars.
About it for that.
Yay news.
You love about Clone Wars what?
Sorry. Oh, I just love about like Clone Wars like in this new like this new I don't want to say like a new generation of Star Wars, but like in this current era of Star Wars, I guess, like the expansion of like Clone Wars and like the importance of it to the mythos of Star Wars has been really cool to me. And I like learning all of that stuff. So any sort of like media about the Clone Wars is really, really exciting to me.
It just, it's added more world building than anything.
It really has. Yeah.
Yes.
Which I appreciate.
So I don't think, do you have anything else news-wise, Chris? I don't think there's anything.
Mandalorian starts soon, and that's it.
Oh, yes, in less than 30 days.
Oh, my gosh, it's so
we're going to see if all of our rumors we talked about are true, which you can catch that episode on our Twitter.
Yes, our scathing review of the rumors.
It's such an interesting, like, such a Hollywood story, though. I'm hesitant. But apparently, like, you know, it seems maybe that they might have kissed and made up for a potential third season. Like, everything seems maybe to be cool. So, I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see.
Well, he's been posting about, you know, being with them and...
Yes, yeah.
Pro-Mandalorian and stuff. So, I don't think he's just walked away from it the way...
And I know this episode isn't about it, but, like, if he... I feel like he'd be so silly to just, like, walk away.
Oh, I can't imagine.
From all of that.
That's what right we now. Came to the conclusion of, too. Yeah.
From a role you can literally phone in, I don't think so.
Oh, God. No. But also, just like, So, we don't have to talk about it more, but, like, I do hope everything gets resolved. Yeah. And
go
that
back
we get
and
more...
listen to that episode, guys. Do it.
Yes.
Yes. All right, so we're going to take a quick little break, and then when we come back, we're going to start diving into the fashion that is Padme Amidala. So, stay tuned, guys. And we are back. So let's talk some fashion.
All right. So first up, we have the beautiful, flowing, lovely goddess-like lake dress. And since Luna is our resident expert on the lake dress, why don't you get us started on describing it to us?
Well, the lake dress...
Yes, Professor Flair.
The lake dress itself consists of two garments, I would say. There's the underdress, which is composed of a hand-dyed ombre satin. I believe the material is a sort of like a sand-washed silk, and then they dyed it, ombre dyed it. And then the overdress, as I call it, is like this flowing chiffon that is also dyed in similar sunset colors. And to accessorize it, she also has a toque that comes from, that attaches to the halter neckline of the dress, and then two matching armbands. And I think this dress has just become such a like emblematic of her in a way. I think it's, well, are we just discussing like the form of it, or can we go into like symbolism of the dress yet? Or should we wait?
No, go for it.
Well,
it's kind of an organic thing. So
Okay, cool. One of the most fascinating things to me about this dress was that George Lucas apparently wanted this like sort of ethereal and flowing outfit, and he wanted to do it in post. Like he wanted to do it in after and like not have a physical garment, but the costume designers... Right, but the costume designers...
He just wanted her to show up.
Wait, it was
going to
be like a CG outfit?
It was going to be a CG outfit.
CG it on later.
Exactly.
Oh,
like,
no.
Probably, and considering the technology back then, like, come on, George, what was this going to look like? I know, but then, like...
So not only are there no bras in space, there's just no clothes in
space. There's no clothing in space.
Yeah, no.
It's so funny to think about, but then like the costume designers were like, no, we can figure this out. Just tell us what you want. And then this is what they came up with. And I think it really does fulfill a lot of things that needed to happen in this scene. Cause love or hate this scene, a lot of stuff happens between her and Anakin. And I think this is the first time really that, you know, her being back on Naboo and just feeling like she's back at home. And it's a vulnerable scene for Padme. Like she is sort of like trying to let a little bit of her guard down as this senator, and and, you know, just show a little bit of who she is. And I think that is really captured in, like, she has the bare shoulders and the bare back, and everything is just sort of hanging off of her.
But she's comfortable. She's home.
She's comfortable. Oh, absolutely. And yes, she gets to, like, you know, like, meander through by the lakeside and just be comfortable. And, like, this is probably something that she, you know, would maybe choose for herself, even if she wasn't, you know, this figurehead and this person. And, like, all of the things that happen in, this is sort of where, like, Anakin has, in terms of plot, Anakin has always, you know, admired Padme and, like, you know, loved her from afar. But I think this is, like, the first time that there's supposed to be, like, the inkling of, like, physical attraction. Like, this is the first time that he's like, acknowledging it. Yeah, exactly. And, like, I think this is the perfect
dress. He fully popped, like, a Jedi boner during the scene.
Yeah, his lightsaber was not in its hilt, if you...
Deactivated? No.
Yeah, it was not deactivated, yeah. Oh, so, like, oh, I know, gross. But, like, I think this is the perfect dress to do that, because it's romantic, it's soft, but it's also very sensual. And I can't get enough of this dress. So.
No, it's beautiful. I'd love to wear this dress today. It's so pretty.
Can we also talk about how her hair is in this dress too?
Yes. Which I never have done
successfully. Because it reminds me of, like, a shell.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It very much looks like a shell. Which, like, is interesting because the armband and the neck piece are, like, mother of pearl.
Mm-hmm.
So it does have a very nautical flow to it, the whole thing.
Yes.
I don't know if this is water goddess, very in her element, I would say, because she comes from a planet that has so much water.
Yeah.
But would you think, I don't know if this is reading too deeply into it, but do you think that the Nautilus shell hair is somehow attached to this idea of, like, the Gungans and, like, it being sort of this thing where it's like she's trying to represent all of the people of Naboo at some point, and so it's like, I don't know, that's reaching.
No, that makes sense.
I wouldn't say with that necessarily hair piece, because, or at least in that moment, because it's just her and Anakin, I don't think she quite cares about Jar Jar and his rights when she's with him at that moment.
I guess that's fair.
She might not be thinking about that, but if it's a traditional hairstyle
that
someone is doing for her, it may have been created as, like, an homage to the Gungans.
Yes.
Both
of you have read Queen's Shadow, correct?
Mm-hmm. I haven't finished it, but yeah.
Okay, well, then you've read the beginning, but, like, this dress makes an appearance in the book, and I feel that just is emblematic of how much this dress also means to the fandom.
Oh, yeah.
And then also the sheer number of people who have cosplayed this dress.
Well, here, you can buy this dress, which I just discovered.
Yes,
on Amazon.
Yes.
Oh, no.
On Amazon. It
is, but that is like a cultural touchstone, like, piece kind of thing. Because I don't know if anyone reads Tom and Lorenzo. It's a fashion blog. And they do this series. It's, like, about costuming and in movies and how costuming informs character development and story. And one of their things is that if you can successfully take a costume out of its context, like from a movie, and put it into something like Halloween or like a masquerade, and people recognize what you are, then you know that costume has made some sort of impact. And so
you've done good.
So I think that this dress, along with the Red Throne Room dress, but this dress has become emblematic of Padme, which is really fun for me.
This one, the Red Throne Room dress, and then her white
battle outfit.
Yes. Like, I think the three Hallmark ones.
Those are
that people who aren't really super fans recognize.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so for this dress too, it's, you know, beautiful, it's flowy, and, you know, they wanted to show off in this whole movie, you know, a more softer side to her, more feminine side to her. Because, you know, not once did you see her in anything backless in episode one. Mm-hmm. Not once did you see, like, her arms really exposed. Not once. It was basically, you know, like, neck and above, and that was it.
She's an untouchable child queen.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And a bunch of the, like, again, kind of referencing the book, but, like, talking about the regalia of what it means to be the Queen of Naboo, and, like, how stifling it kind of is. It's, like, all pomp. There's a lot of, like, the garments are very heavy. They're also very sort of armor-like, and she's, like, hidden in all this and all this stuff. So like when you start to peel back those layers and we're trying to learn who Padme is, it's really interesting that like she is in like these more, this more like exposed, very soft, very flowy garment when we're still trying to learn who she is. So there's a lot that can be said about this
now dress. Since Luna has made this outfit,
yes,
talk about your process of making it, and first off, why did you choose this outfit rather than any of her other outfits to begin with?
Let's see. So when I chose to do the lake dress at Another Castle Creations, which is the cosplay group that Chris and I are a part of, we wanted to do Star Wars, and I think it, I'm trying to remember my timeline, but it was one of the first Star Wars costumes that I made, and like at this, at that point, I wanted to sort of start tackling the costumes that had been so impactful for me in my childhood and that like I always dreamed of making. And at that point too, like I felt like I could try to tackle this dress and do it properly because my skill set had like evolved in such a way that I didn't feel like it was just gonna look like, you know, rags on me when it was all done.
Yeah.
And so I remember I made this dress in a blind panic. It took me like 2 weeks. Well, actually maybe a little less than 2 weeks because at the same time I was also making a Tiana ball gown and I was trying to like
concentrate. Wow, that was that same
That time. Was, right? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So yeah, I had this big ball gown project plus wanting to do this Padme dress. And I started my research at, Padawan's Guide. I don't know if-
Yes,
I started, Padawan's Guide is this wonderful online resource if anyone is ever looking for like detail shots, especially from the prequels.
It's been the resource for like the last 20 years.
It's incredible. Like the amount of dedication they have, not just shots and stills from the movie, but they also, if a costume has been exhibited, they have like all of these pictures from there. So you can look at it in neutral lighting so that can help with your color matching. Which didn't help with me, and I'll get to that, but I started looking at Padawan's Guide, and there was a lot, yeah, I know, you're like, uh-huh, yeah, I started looking at Padawan's Guide, and I started looking at all of the resources and tutorials available, and tried to make the best decisions for, like, my, fabric choices and also my budget at the time. Like, I wasn't going to be able to afford, like, silk, but, like, luckily Hancock Fabrics was going out of sale, so, like, I was able to pick up, like, some white satin. Oh, my God, I miss it every day. Unless Joann's is listening, sponsor us.
I don't like Joann's, I liked having Hancock as an option, too.
I liked options. Like, that was what I miss so much about not having, like, two dedicated national fabric stores. I got the fabric from there, and then I looked at all of these tutorials about how to ombre dye, which is the effect that you get on Padme's dress where it goes from the yellow to pink to purple. Here's my thing. So if you ever look at my dress that I made, it goes from yellow to pink to a light sky blue. And a lot of the reason for that is I was following tutorials and I was looking at their dyes. And so the tutorials that I happened to be looking at the time, and I didn't realize it, they were going off of more concept sketches of the lake dress. I know. Oh. If you've ever wondered, I don't know, for all of like my two fans out there, if you've ever wondered why my dress is blue at the bottom, it's because I messed up. But
to be fair, like in that lighting when she's in the scene, they don't really focus a lot on the bottom of her dress.
Absolutely.
More like waist and above. So
yeah.
It looks very kind of like, because I'm looking at some stills right now, at the bottom when she's walking and that brief time you see it
does
it looks
look
very
bluish.
Periwinkle. Yeah. Like a
yes,
periwinkle
no, I was
blue.
Going more of like a periwinkle idea. Like that was like, because I watched that scene over and over again to determine if I was wrong. I was like, some of the photos that I was like, that's kind of more of a lavender than I think it is, or like a dusty purple. But then I was like, but my memory is like, no, that's a blue. And so like, I kept watching it. And then I think I just talked myself into like going more of the blue route. I'm not mad at it in the end. Like I really enjoy wearing that dress. And like people who are fans of that dress, who love that dress, have never called me out on the bottom of it. Unless
no,
they
you've
did.
Always had really, really good reactions to it.
Well, and also, it's kind of hard to do an ombre dye on dresses, so, you know, it's not an easy one to do.
It's so funny because, like, thinking about the impact of this dress, like, there are a bunch of tutorials about how to make this dress, and, like, you know, the processes to do it, and so there's enough love and dedication for this dress that people go through the trouble of learning an entirely new skill just to make this dress. And I think I think every time you make a new costume, there's like opportunities to learn. But I think there was like a big jump in my skills because I also had to draft the underdress because the underdress, it has like an empire waist seam and like the halter neckline. And there were no like just commercially available patterns at that moment that happened to have that same silhouette. Oh. So like I had to just figure that out. It wasn't that hard, but like, you know, because my drafting skills suck. But like, it's still something that you had to like, if you wanted this like sort of feeling for this dress, like you had to go through. So, I would totally love to remake this dress one day if I didn't have like a million other Star Wars things that I want to also make. But like this dress always has like a special place in my heart, and I also still love wearing it. It's currently I need to touch up some things. Maybe if I do want to wear this dress again, I might try dyeing the bottom again. But it'd be so hard to like ombre dye it now that everything's dry. But like, stay tuned. I might have
pull
to do
it. I think you could pull off just the bottom and getting it purple. I mean, even if it just. There's still a little bit of blue to the purple. I think that would work.
Like if I just tinted it a little bit, like it might be okay.
I think it'd be fine.
Okay, you heard it here. Like if anyone's listening, we can all blame Chris if my dress doesn't.
Well, I think if you wet it, I think if you wet it first.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. No, so I agree. Do you guys want to hear the official Bible
description?
Yes. Oh, yes, please.
Okay. So
let Chris Bible speak from the official text.
From
praise
the official
be.
Text.
Thus saith.
The Dressing a Galaxy dress says, excuse me, the Dressing a Galaxy book says, this, it actually called it the Lake Retreat Arrival Gown, which is not as cool as the lake dress.
it's very official sounding, I'm sorry, but yes.
It says, okay, so the ombre full-length bias-cut silk chiffon and sandwich silk satin dress is held at the neck and arms by hand-cut abalone shell collar pieces and arm cuffs. The chiffon overdress is gathered at the hem, front, and back into mother-of-pearl shell and vintage beaded tassel clasps. The color of the dress starts at the hem in smoky lilac and progress through pinks and oranges to the palest yellow at the neck. The headdress was formed in the shape of the ridges of a conch shell in 7 graded bands and was made using flexicast with a powdered dye mixed through and then hand painted.
Jesus Christ.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's fascinating. I met, where were we? Oh, we were at, no, we weren't at Celebration. We were at Denver. Yep. Thank you. And I met another Padme cosplayer who was in the lake dress as well. And I'm sorry, it's the Lake Retreat Arrival.
Lake Retreat Arrival Gown.
The Lake Retreat Arrival Gown.
So much.
I love it. You know, the lake dress. And her collar piece and her armbands had that inset mother of pearl and abalone shell. And I was just, you know, I was trying not to seethe, and like I was like, don't look at me, like just don't look at my.
You mean the armbands that I made?
My armbands are beautiful.
Con.
No, I loved my armbands because for anyone out there, like I would not have had armbands if Christina had not gone through and like gotten Warbla and like made them for me the night before.
I was
and they
like,
really do
I
complete
can
the dress.
Do this. I could do this. I've never worked with Warbla before, except for like I think actually because I used it to make a crown for my Arwen dress. And
you
I was like, I have some more. I could do this. It's just like a little shape. And yeah, and we just threw it together the night before.
Didn't you also use Warbla? This is not Star Wars related, but didn't you also use Warbla to make your Aurora tiara too?
Yes. Maybe it was my Aurora tiara.
Okay.
Yes, because, my crown is made out of kydex? Kyber crystals? No.
Kyber crystals. That's what it's made out of, canonically
now. Some other thermoplastic.
Yes. Which didn't win the thermoplastic war, obviously.
It did
because
not win
we can't remember what it was. I'm so sorry if you're listening.
But yeah, so there you go. There was our there's a rundown on the lake dress. And we okay, what would you rate it? 1 out of 10. Based on all of her other looks.
Oh, on her other looks?
Like from this movie.
Oh, for ranking it, it's a full 10 for me. I'm so sorry, but it has to be. It's just informed so much of, like, what I love about, like, fashion, I guess, and also, what I love about Star Wars, so
well,
10 out of 10.
It looks comfortable, too. Like, unlike many things she wears, it looks comfortable.
This dress is, like, wearing it, it is super comfortable. Like, you, like, I think the initial feeling of, like, you know, when you're wearing a gown to like an event and you're like, I can't wear any underwear or undergarments in this. And I feel very, like you get over that real easily because you're like, I can breathe in this dress. I can also eat in this dress.
Yeah.
So, and you can't say that a lot for cosplays. So 10 out of 10 for me.
What about you, Ian?
I mean, same. It's a really pretty dress. A lot of stuff happens during it.
It really does.
Yeah, firsts of many.
Yeah.
I really enjoy it. It's really pretty, and I would give it a 10 out of 10.
Yay.
Yeah, I think I'd have to
agree. What about you?
No, I'd have to agree. It's beautiful. I love that it has a lot of complicated things going on in the creation of it, but it's still a rather simple dress. It's a simple silhouette. And her hair isn't like it's nice, but it's not crazy.
Yes,
right.
It's intricate, but not insane. So, yeah, no, I like it a lot.
I like that intricate, yeah. But not insane. That sounds like her.
I mean, it is relatively one of her more simpler hairstyles, and that says something.
Yeah. That really does say something when your full like conch shell hair is like one of your more simple styles. We love an extra girl.
Yeah.
All right. So now
all right,
we have.
So next outfit is the. Is there an official name for this one? Or can we just call it the meadow dress?
Yeah. No. It's actually called the meadow picnic dress. Officially.
Oh. Okay. Well. By the way, I didn't see any kind of picnic happening. I just saw them laying, and there was no food to be had. There was nothing.
That's true.
Is there?
That is very true.
Did we all collectively make that up? That they just had a picnic?
I think it feels just kind of like a picnic moment, like.
No,
doesn't it?
I think they're on like a blanket.
There were all those like wildebeest things.
Oh yeah,
that were
yeah.
Like,
weird.
They're weird. Animal. They look like ball sacks.
Yes, oh but God. Like I feel like they're not just going out there to look at the ball sack. Well, maybe Padme is, but like they're not. But like I feel like they're going out there for a purpose, and so I think us in our collective. Imaginations were like, oh, obviously they're out there
having a picnic. Yeah.
Not just like observing these animals. I think, I don't know, George Lucas, whatever this
Well, it's called
was.
A picnic dress, so, I mean, it was written in the script that it was a picnic.
Yeah.
I mean, whether or not that film survived, it was a picnic.
In any case, so this is a beautiful, like, yellowish gold dress with a kind of like corset on top and then a flowy lace. It's like a dressed lace on it, right? With like a lace overlay.
It's very, it's very like fantasy.
It's very like Renaissance.
It's very fantasy Renaissance princess.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very.
I do like the nods to Leia's kind of buttons.
Yes.
The first nod that we get.
This is also an extremely simple dress. Or I'm sorry, hairstyle. Very simple.
Oh yeah.
It's mostly down, except for the two cinnamon buns. That are in little mini snoods.
Yes. I've always loved those snoods as like a detail for this whole look. It's always been one of my favorite things about this dress.
It's really cute.
Yeah. And I think that her hairstyle, like also going back to this idea of like more laid back Padme, as opposed to like Senator Padme or Queen Amidala, like she's literally letting her hair down.
Yeah.
So, like, the costume designer is like, look, she's relaxed and she's having fun on this picnic, even though they're talking about Senate stuff, you know?
She's relaxed.
She can't turn it off.
She really can't. No. And, like, she's just trying to have it all. And it's hard, Padme. We know it's hard, but you can do it if you want it.
So, can we talk about, like, the unquestionable hours it took for this hand embroidery on this corset.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. Here, let me read the description. Okay.
Yes. Read from the Bible. So says she.
So it's a silk cloquet bodice with seven color computerized filigree embroidery with bled stitching. Oh, so it's not hand stitched.
I was gonna say, ooh, it's not so computerized. No, computerized.
Computer embroidery.
Yeah.
Cheating. Huh. Which means
cheaters.
There is a file somewhere
that they have
download and recreate, and that is my new mission.
Is it on a? It's yep. like on a floppy disk somewhere. Like
I bet,
with the arc
I,
of the
I guarantee I could probably look it up and download it onto my embroidery machine.
No, I bet you could find it.
We'll have to look for that.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Okay. The roses were taken from the tulle and appliqued on top to unite the two fabrics. Oh my god, this is totally what cosplayers do.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like listening. Like I'm like, wait, okay, taking notes.
The bodice is worn over an old silk organza blouse with multicolored ribbon details around the lower sleeve. This is way easier than I thought.
Well, okay, that's okay. Just showing my hand a little bit here. I have wanted to make this dress for a really long time, the picnic dress.
Well,
and
you're
the one
planning to, right?
I am planning to. It's in there. I actually bought a little bit ago. I sent this in the group, I think. But,
oh yeah, no, we because you were questioning whether you should do it or not. We were like, no, you have to buy it.
But a little bit ago at Walmart, they had this curtain. And it was like it had little rosettes on it that looked exactly like the rosettes on this dress on her cape. And capelet, I guess we're calling it.
Did you buy it?
I did buy it because not just because it looked like it, but because it has been 501st approved.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Rebel Legion or 501st?
Rebel Legion.
It has been Rebel Legion approved. So if
has it really?
Yes,
it
has.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah, it's close
That's
enough
hilarious.
That they approved it. So if I ever decide to do this dress, and I ever decide to take the time to do it, I could maybe get this dress approved.
Well, I
so,
think between. That you have it, and now that we know that we could probably just machine embroider the front bodice
and still get
I think this should be the one you make next, obviously.
I mean, okay, so full disclosure, the next Padme outfit I wanted to make was the packing gown, which I also really love and has some insane hair. But now that I know that it's machine embroidery and I don't have to go through the trouble of hand embroidering it myself, I might just have to commission Chris to do the bodice for me. So I can just have this dress on my body. Because my
you
God.
Get in line, sir.
Are you doing this? Are you doing this dress?
No, but I have commitments to finish for you.
No, I mean it's not. This is not going to be anytime soon. It'll have to be like maybe at the soonest.
Oh, I was gonna say you take your ass back behind me, sir. This
well,
is
also
it'll happen. It'll happen. There's a pandemic.
It's true.
No, yes, also, we're not doing anything anytime soon.
Surprisingly,
I'm literally looking at the fabric. I'm like,
It's like, it's so surprising. But like, I am gonna have to because the field that the fabric that I got at Walmart, the field that it's on is actually a white, and so I'm gonna have to like somehow dye it without dyeing the rosettes. So we're gonna have to figure that. We're gonna have to figure that out. But that's a bridge for future
we'll
Luna to figure out.
We'll make it work.
Right? It'll happen.
Yeah, and that's it's gonna happen. I noticed looking at this that little, I don't know, festival girl hairband across her
Coachella
forehead. Padme. Yeah, her little Coachella
it's
headband.
It's very
So I have a little bag, a little like clutch bag that looks exactly like that.
Exactly. Oh my gosh.
So if you ever do this dress, I have a con bag for you.
It sounds like everything's lining up for you to do this dress.
You have no idea. I'm like vibrating. I'm like, this is it. This is the moment where Lydia, if she's listening, is rolling her eyes real hard. But no, this dress, I think why it speaks to a lot of people too, because like, I think, again, it's one of those dresses that like when like you ask Padme fans, this is another one of those dresses, like the lake dress, where a lot of them are like, it's so gorgeous. Like, and like, it's very, like you said, like fantasy and like it's fanciful.
It doesn't look like it's a space movie. It looks like it's a fantasy medieval.
Correct.
It really does. It again, it's that sort of like romanticism too that like they imbue Padme with in this movie. And I think like it's also kind of it's more desaturated, but it's still kind of that pastel-y color palette that they play with the like dress too.
Well, the ribbons around her arm are actually really similar colors to the lake dress.
They really are. Like, looking at them, I'm like, no, this is, like, it's intentional, I'm sure. Like, these pastel primary colors on her. And like, again, she's trying to present this like softer side of Padme, even though she's like in a fully structured corset. It's a really beautiful dress. And I think why so many people are taken with it is because we like Star Wars itself is like a space fantasy. And like this dress sort of like, not to put too fine a point on it, but like this dress sort of like expands the idea of what you can wear in space. Because it doesn't have to, you know what I mean? It like, it's like, oh, this is also acceptable because we're visiting all these worlds that have different cultures, different customs. And so not
it's not always tight pants and tight boots and stuff. It's, you know,
It's not like you're always
with this dress. Well, and I like also that her makeup wise for this dress, it's very minimal to like none almost.
Most of her frolicking around the Naberry, I don't know, lake retreat.
That's true.
Naboo Lake retreat. Most of her makeup looks are just bare minimum there.
Just. And again, that contrast between like heavily done Amidala, Queen Amidala, like the full traditional paint versus like this, like I just brush my brows out and I also put on a little lip gloss kind of look. It's like, it again draws that contrast between who she was and like who she is becoming. And so I think,
I think
that's one of the successful things about Padme is that a lot of the things that are communicated about her character come through in her garments. And like, I think it makes her more sympathetic.
It's like her, you know, her flowers opening, or no, no, that's bad, really?
I mean, Jesus Christ. You know, well, no, her flowers aren't opening until our last dress, the bondage dress, so. Well.
No, that's not what I meant, like, I mean, like, she's blossoming into, you know, she's, you know.
A woman.
She's a woman.
A woman.
I'm such a bad Star Wars fan. How old is she at this point in canon? Like in
it's 10 years after episode one, and she's 14
She's like 24. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's like coming into her own. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's doing it.
Speaking of the white face makeup, I know you may never do this outfit. It's just a sidetrack, but I really, really want you to do Sabé in her battle outfit.
Oh, do you know how I have looked at fabric for that before. I don't know when it would happen.
I really want you to, because it's a really pretty outfit. It's like a kimono kind of fighting outfit, and it's really pretty.
I love the sleeves.
Yeah.
Are gorgeous. I love the way that she has like the Amidala shape, but it's like I'm active Amidala. Active Amidala. One of these days, we're gonna. What we need to do, Chris, for a con is, well, I don't know when we'd ever have a 4-day con, but we each do like a different Amidala, and the rest of us are handmaids.
That'd be so awesome.
But like we rotate. So like each of us gets to be Amidala. And then that means we're like also her handmaids, like when we decoy for
you're the decoys.
Perfect.
Yeah. That would actually be really fun.
It would be really fun.
I'll be Corday.
Can I just be I'll be blown up Corday and then y'all can be just the regular. Yeah.
I'm just
torched.
I have actually seen cosplays of blown up Corday.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
It's like, it's sad,
Keldar,
but also I'm like,
one.
Good job.
Yes, it was Keldar.
Keldar has her whole wardrobe, and every day I'm like, why can't I be Keldar?
It's upsetting that it's like, oh, you're
You're
after.
After Keldar.
Oh, God.
Okay.
This dress, though.
So, this dress, would you give it rank-wise, Chris?
Oh, it's a 10 out of 10. This is one of my favorite ones.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's just, it's so romantic, and it hits that fantasy Waterhouse Renaissance medieval vibe for me, so, yeah.
Waterhouse is such a good reference for this, because it's very Waterhouse.
It's very flowy.
Mm-hmm.
Waterhouse. Oh my god, now is that, oh no, it can't be. Like, Waterhouse's painting of Ophelia.
I'm surprised, there's gotta be, like, a Waterhouse version of Padme.
Well, no, what I'm thinking, though, because Ophelia, in the painting that Waterhouse does of Ophelia, she is floating in the water, and later on, when Padme is in her funeral gown, and it looks like she's floating in water,
that's what they base it off of.
Yeah, it's a Waterhouse. That's a Waterhouse reference.
But do you think that this dress is like kind of foreshadowing. I know that we know that she doesn't make it, but like, do you think this dress is kind of like, I don't know, that's too much. Like,
oh, it might be too much to read into it.
That's too much to read into it. But anyway, yes, Waterhouse is a very good reference for this dress.
But yeah, the water gown was inspired by Waterhouse.
So
that makes sense.
For me, this dress, and don't yell at me.
Ruh-roh.
Uh-oh, no.
It's, are we gonna fight? Like a 7 out of 10.
I mean, that's not bad.
Respectable.
Yeah. So, and the only reason, and I know it's so petty, but I absolutely hate the color yellow.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
I know it's petty. I know it's super petty. I know. Like one time when I was little, my dad got a rent-a-car, and it was yellow, and I made him take it back before I got into it.
Oh
my god.
Wow. Yeah.
He's like, you're gonna be late for school. I go, no, you're gonna be late. Take me to school because you won't take it back.
Wow, Ian.
You're a spoiled child.
And guess what? He took back and he got a white one.
So he got a white one. Okay, cool.
Can you, yeah, there you go. I see how it is.
Yeah, okay, cool.
We see what's happening here.
So then I no longer see your point about this dress is valid. And now
you are excluded from the conversation.
No, but like, you know, preference and taste, like, people have different preferences, different tastes, so I totally get it.
Like, it's just a lot of yellow to look at, and I just don't like yellow. I know that's super petty for me to not like it, but I just don't, that's the only reason.
I mean, I mean, like, for my
gold, I'm fine with. Yellow,
but it is
no.
Gold. I was gonna say, but it's more gold.
It's like a golden ochre yellow, like,
it
you
has
know.
More yellow in it than gold, though.
Yeah, No.
And the lighting in the movie, it does.
I guess. I don't know. I'd have to. I guess I'm gonna have to go watch the episode 2 again, and just like really watch this dress. Oh no!
No, you have to. No, you have to watch that scene. You have to watch the whole movie. Don't put yourself through that.
Okay, I have. I have done a rewatch of the prequels like a while ago, and it wasn't too bad. There were moments where it did slog, but like a lot of it, I was like, oh no, I remember. Like this was okay. Yeah, definitely.
Oh boy. Well, on that note, we're gonna take another quick little break, guys.
Uh-huh.
And then we come back, we're gonna be talking about the final dress, which is the fireside dress, aka the bondage call me Miss Padme dress.
Mistress Padme.
Miss Padme, if you're not
Mistress Padme. Yes, so we'll be right back, guys. And we're back again.
We're back.
So our last dress of the topic for today is the fireside dress. Chris, do you want to lead this one since this is the one that you kind of have knowledge about than us?
So this dress we see when Anakin and Padme are having like a super awkward dinner together where they have absolutely zero chemistry. Just zero chemistry. Zero.
Yeah.
And you kind of wonder if there's like a button underneath the table that she is frantically pushing to get somebody to come and get him to go away.
1,000,000%. Like, where's Sabe? Like, she's supposed to be listening to me
like,
right
God
now.
God damn it, where is Sabe? Here is the signal. He's talking
just
about sand again.
No! Oh my god, human sand.
Yeah. And so when she's at the table, it's this beautiful black, very, very sexy dress. And it's the skirt is made up of there's two layers. There's kind of like a silver metallic layer underneath, and then over it is this cut geometric shaped cut velvet lace. And it's a beautiful fishtail silhouette, really, really very close fitting mermaid tail, fishtail, to the floor. She's got opera length?
I would say it's opera length gloves.
Opera length gloves, fingerless gloves that are leather, that match a very tight fitted leather corset. I mean, it's a corset.
Yes. That's the only
thank God you said opera length, because I'm like, oh, she has, like, fisting gloves.
They are. I mean, to go with the theme. Like, this is definitely a
there
theme.
There you go. Yeah. And during the dinner, she also wears this beautiful black feathered cape lit thing that's off the shoulder. And I don't, it has zero purpose other than being really cool looking. Because it's not like it's keeping her warm.
It's not.
It's not. It's literally not on her shoulders. And then there is a dog collar. She's wearing, she's wearing an ornate dog collar. She's wearing a choker. And attached to it is this massive beaded to the floor, like all these beaded strands, black gold strands, and black beaded strands that are just stunning.
It's so pretty, this dress.
Yeah. I mean, it's a sexy dress. It's a fuck me dress.
It is a definite fuck me dress.
It's a definite fuck me dress.
It's like, yeah, in the language of Star Wars, it's the fuck me dress.
It is the fight, literally.
She, like, the only way she could, that she would say fuck me more is if she had Leku. I'm just kidding.
Stop it.
Gross. I'm so sorry.
We think about this They are the sex icons of the galaxy.
They are the sex icons of the galaxy. More power to them.
And now everyone has turned off our podcast.
Yeah. No, I think it's just something that needs to be stated because, like, it's a thing in the Star Wars fandom. This dress, though, didn't Natalie Portman talk about how uncomfortable it was to move?
Oh, it looks terribly uncomfortable.
Because George designed it.
George did design it.
Of course he did.
This was the only dress that he had any input. I mean, like, I'm sure he had input on the other dress, but, like, this is specifically, he was like, no, she needs to wear something that looks like this.
And I'm fine and with it.
She needs
I
to wear a corset
it.
That's, like, this big. It's maybe, like, 3 inches around her waist. She's pulling the Violet Tchotchke. And
yeah, exactly. But this is my proof that George is, you know, he's in the lifestyle.
He's into it. Like, into you know.
It. He's into the BDSM stuff. We see
I don't
George.
Know if it's.
We see you.
I don't know if it's because we just talked about the picnic dress, but, like, it's interesting that this dress is a counterpoint to that dress almost directly. Like, if you look at it, because, like the way it covers her wrists
well,
in
the
same way.
It's the polar opposite.
It is the polar opposite. I think it's, like, you know, it's saying that I'm still Padme, but, like, also bend over. Like, you know, like, she's like, this is me. Look out, because here I come. And it's, like, with, like, thank you. No. Thank you. Shout out to the Greatest Showman. But it's the corset, the same sort of corseted bodice, like the idea that she's covering up the wrists with like some sort of glove, but like where that one was like soft and flowy and like accessible, this one is like,
yeah,
I'm going to take what I want and that's fine. And also definite like...
Well, and you know good and how well she's wearing like thigh-high boots under this. Like no matter what the reference says, like she's wearing thigh-high boots. I don't care. It's canon.
It's actually, if you want to get approved by the Rebel Legion for this dress, you have to be wearing thigh-high boots underneath. You know, it's not an option. And, like, also, like, color story-wise, it definitely is, since this is, like, that seduction scene and, like, sort of the choice that Anakin makes that sends him towards the dark side. Like, there's literally no other, like, it's totally an allusion to Darth Vader. It's totally, like, like, you know, choosing me puts you down a path I cannot follow. But you know what I mean? Like, this is totally, like, she represents that choice for him. And I could see why George would want her in something like this.
No, it's a pivotal scene. Interestingly enough, it also follows with the very simple hair styles we were talking about, where she's just got her hair.
It's just big old braid, right?
So there's this thing if you have long hair where you could put it in a ponytail, and then you kind of make a little hole in the hair at the base of the ponytail, and you thread the actual tail of your hair through that hole, and it makes this cool, really cool little like French flip.
Do you remember
the 90s?
And it looks
super complicated,
but
it's very chic looking and very easy. I do it all the time. And that's all that she is. And then two little metal bands, again, you know, festival Coachella, she's ready. She's ready for Space Coachella.
And it's really interesting, too, again, that idea of bondage, because, like, first she topsy-tails her ponytail, and then as it's hanging down her back,
it's a topsy-tail.
Do you remember those from the 90s?
I still have one.
Perfect. I knew I liked you. But, like, so, like, they've gathered her handmaids, whoever made this, like, they've gathered it, and then they've taken two other strands and have wrapped it much like corset lacing around her ponytail. There's corset lacing on her ponytail. Like, we know what this dress is. Like, we get it.
It's for something that Anakin can grab onto.
Well, he's got that whole front collar lead.
That's true.
He's got a beaded leash he can grab onto.
But we're going to see that outfit at NakaCon, and all those little weebs are going to be leading around their girlfriends like they do on the leashes.
I didn't know if we could bring that up, but like that's like this is a NakaCon dress if I ever saw one.
So, but like, I remember when this came out, we were passing around. There was a Star Wars themed issue of Mad Magazine.
Oh my gosh.
We were passing out at school.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't remember if it was the cover or if it was like in, but this stupid little Mad comic has stuck with me. And it's Padme in this dress, or like more or less in this dress, and Anakin, and he's got a condom, and he's like, she's like on the bed, and he's like very seriously putting it on his lightsaber.
No! No.
And it's like, this is, and then like the caption was like more or less, this is why Luke and Leia exist.
Oh no.
that comic has stuck with me.
I mean, no lie. I mean, this is the moment where it's like, and this is how me and your mother sent the galaxy into turmoil.
Yeah, and we were looking at this in the library at school, and I remember like all of us just kind of like shifty-eyed looking around like, shit, are we gonna get in trouble for looking at this?
Oh,
I think the school should be happy that you just are like displaying an interest in sex education.
Oh, you mean the Catholic private school that I went to?
Yeah. Oh, never mind. Yeah, no, yeah. They'd be like, babies are bad. Yeah.
So this is my favorite dress. I love this dress. I'm gonna make this dress.
Yes, I can't wait. I can't wait for our day when we just have a bunch of Padme dresses again.
Are you gonna make it with like the shawl?
Yes, because I have a bunch of feathers already.
It's gonna be gorgeous.
Okay.
I can't wait.
From the Maleficent that I made.
Oh,
That last my original take in Maleficent. I have a whole bunch of, and they're the same feathers. So
it's perfect.
I'll probably need to get more, but yeah. It's super easy. It's like, it's literally just, they glued a bunch of feathers around her.
Yes. Maybe hand-stitched, just because they're like, we need to charge Lucasfilm more. So we're going to just like take the time to hand-stitch all these feathers.
We have to put the interns to work.
Exactly.
So is they need something to do. Is there anything in the book about this or no?
No, unfortunately, they have detailed pictures of it, but there's no description, which really annoys me.
That is actually surprising. Yeah, that like, no. This is such a pivotal dress and they don't say anything about it.
No, it's just they've got a full length and a close up, and it just says Lake Retreat dining gown with feathered cape.
Hmm.
Yeah, they don't even call it the fireside dress either. They also call it something else.
What do they call it?
Lake Retreat dining gown.
Okay. We all know what this dress is, George. Exactly.
Come on, George. It's the fuck me dress.
It's the fuck me. The Lake Retreat fuck me dress.
Fuck me dress.
Someone re-edit this volume because like it's important. It's also important for Jesus lore. Christ. So like just be
imagine,
accurate.
I just imagine Alexis Rose. This is the Lake Retreat fuck me dress.
Or Moira. I remember.
Christ, no child listens to this podcast now.
I mean, it's...
This is the most F-bombs we've ever dropped in one.
I'm so sorry, but like, you have to describe it like this. Like, that's the only way that this dress gets described. You have to. Yeah. Oh, it's so beautiful.
It is. I love it.
Well, so, all right, rating-wise, Miss Flair, what do you give it?
Oh my gosh. Okay, and again, this is like, I'm proposing it like Ian. I think I give it, like, don't hate me, I think I give it like an 8 out of 10. Here why. I think it's beautiful. It also just looks really hard to move in, so I think that affects my score. But also I think just the scene, like we said before, it was like incredibly awkward, and there's supposed to be all this like sexual tension, but there's just like tension because it doesn't seem like they know what they're doing with this scene. So like I think it colors my judgment about this dress. But I think it fits her like it's painted on her body, which is always a plus for me. I think that like the accessorizing takes it away from being just kind of like a standard like form-fitting gown, and like takes it into the realm more of costume, which I really appreciate. Mm-hmm. And I do really love the detailing of like that laser cut lace is laser cut, right?
I think so.
Yeah, that laser cut lace, and then the detail of her braid. So I think it's still a really beautiful costume. I just think, like,
no, I agree. Without the context, without the styling, if it were just the bodice, and even just the gloves and the skirt, it looks like a red carpet dress.
Exactly.
Oh, for sure.
Yes.
But I think maybe that is why it's one of my favorites, because it's so wearable. It's like I could see myself owning this and wearing this, and not just to a
all
con.
The time.
If I, for whatever reason, if I had some fancy event to go to.
Or if, like, just going to CVS. Like,
just
you just
going
need to
CVS.
Yeah.
Just to pick up my rapid COVID test. I'm going to wear this. Yes.
This is the rapid COVID dress.
Yeah.
Like, rapid this is COVID it. Dress. Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, okay. So, hold on. I was flipping around, and I saw something interesting. Where did it go? Okay. Just this quote.
And then the 10, by the way, because I love the dress. It's really pretty.
It is. No,
don't like the shawl with it that much.
It's very the capelet shawl thing. It feels like an afterthought.
I actually like the capelet with it, and the only reason is because.
But it's just weird.
It is weird, but I think it's also kind of reminiscent of like a boa, kind of, you know.
It is
like,
very, kind of deconstructed boa.
And then if she, like, she removes it and she has all that decolletage. So I think that's part of it. Like, she's like, oh no, I'm getting so hot by this fire. And then there's boobs. So I think that's like,
yeah.
No, I think that's part of it, you know? So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I the capelet does, it could be integrated a little bit more because all of the coordinating pieces for Padme's outfits felt a little more together, you know? But, like, overall, I do like it.
So here is this, towards the beginning of the chapter that these dresses are in the book, there's a page of a bunch of the concept art, and there's this great quote I wanted to read you guys. This is I found that with Ian McCaig? I always forget how to say his name. Do you remember Ian?
McCaig, I think.
Is it McCaig? Okay. I found that with Ian McCaig on episode 1, it came easy for him to make Padme look like an innocent girl who was not aware how beautiful she was. Whereas when I drew her in episode 2, she was much more aware of her beauty and sexuality, which was fortunate because I just couldn't draw her any differently. And all of these concept arts are, like, super sexual. Like, there are full-on boobs. Like, I see nipples.
Yeah.
Stop it.
There's some interesting concept art. So there's this one that almost looks like it could have been a proto version of the bondage fireside dining dress, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And it is completely see-through.
Could you imagine? Like, they were just teasing us with the lake dress of it being like, oh, a barely there dress, but then she just has boobs out for the fireside. Could you imagine?
I kind of wonder if that's the original George Lucas vision.
Maybe.
The see-through dress. because it was his design.
That's true.
It's his input.
Maybe.
And they're like, George, we need to cover her up.
They were like, this was a PG-13 movie, my friend.
I wonder, now I wonder.
It wasn't even PG-13, it was PG.
If it was PG. Yeah, I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
But imagine if they were like,
for PG-13 was Revenge of the Sith.
Oh. That makes sense.
If not, okay.
That's interesting.
I'll have to send a picture to you guys, because it's just.
Please do.
Please, I would love to see it.
Every time I come across it in the book, I'm like, nipples.
Well, that's nice.
That's nice.
Yes, those are nice.
That's for you.
I now I'm just like looking at Padme concept art, and it's like,
I love all the concept art.
We need to do a concept art group one of these days.
It could only be something we'd do to Celebration, because anywhere else people would be like,
absolutely no one would know. It's one of those costumes where three people would know what you are, but worth it, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
But like, this Padme, good for her. I love her wardrobe.
Oh, okay, hold on. Chris sent me the picture. Let me see what it looks like. Hang on.
Wait, did I get it?
I'm sending it.
Those are full-blown titty nipples.
Yep, no, it's completely sheer. I'm sending it to the group chat, so this might get out. They're going to be like, why are you sending this?
T- titty nipples as opposed to like what kind of nipples. I guess you could also but say like rubber nipples, like for like for what do you call it? For like
for
baby bottles.
Rubber
for
nipple,
me,
baby
huh?
Rubber nipple
Look,
baby bottles.
Some discerning gentlemen pay a lot of money. I'm just kidding. Oh my god.
And that high slit too, Jesus.
Yeah, no, this dress is woo.
Oh my gosh. Can someone insert this photo into the broadcast?
I was thinking like maybe we could tweet it out, but I don't think we could tweet this out. It's nudity.
I don't know.
I don't think we can tweet it out.
It's also kind of I get a very like Arte vibe from it, like Art Deco 1920s, like nipples, very that.
Yeah,
I'm not mad at this dress actually, now that I'm looking at it.
I know, I love it. No, I love it.
Yeah.
It's just, I can't believe that they even considered going there.
Could you imagine, though, like, if they were like, Natalie Portman, we need you to put on this full see-through dress and, like, seduce this boy from a sand planet. Like, what would you do?
Anakin's never seen a nipple before. He wouldn't know what to do.
No, he's never seen
that. No. Do any of us really know what to do with nipples? But, like, you know.
I knew what to do with nipples. Are you kidding me?
And that's why you get the big bucks. I'm kidding.
That's why I get the big bucks.
Where has this podcast gone?
Well, look, you wanted me on here. I actually, the lines of this dress are really, really beautiful. I love the shoulder treatment.
Yeah, no, it's
like
very
that.
Pretty.
But this is more of like, no offense to Padme, and I know that she's like owning herself more in the second movie, but I just, in her character, I don't know if I could see her wearing that.
I don't think I could either.
Oh no,
right?
I couldn't, no.
No.
Especially after the first movie, when you see her as a child queen.
That's true.
Yeah, no, it's a little
And then you go
awkward.
To see and you're like,
oh. You're like, why are your nipples there? You're 14.
Oh,
I know you're
she
not
all
in this
grown
movie.
Up now.
Yeah. I would,
Nope.
Just more masturbatory fodder for all those fanboys.
I guess. Imagine the Kotobukiya statues for this dress, though. Like, imagine.
Stop
them.
It.
Yeah, no, like, really. Like, this. I feel like those kind of statues would have entered the Star Wars fandom in a
moment. Oh, yes. And on that note, we're gonna end things. Oh boy, howdy. This was so fun.
Good.
Thank you so much, Miss Luna Flair.
Thank you so much for having me.
Real quick,
this was really
fun. Where can one, they follow you? Two, what stuff do you have coming up? And three, I don't know, put something in there.
Well, if you're interested in following me, I am at Miss MS Luna Flair across all social media. I just post a lot of my like cosplay photos on there and also some work in progress stuff upcoming. I know it's been a really difficult time for people and it's been like really interesting to sort of navigate the world now. I do have a couple shows coming up. I'm an entertainer at Hamburger Mary's here in Kansas City. And we have a Disney show coming up. It's part of Candyland. It is on October 25th. Tickets will be on sale soon, and so there, just keep a watch out for that. And then I'm also
and they are doing distancing protocols for that too, right?
You're they not are like... doing distancing protocols. We're not just like throwing each of the wolves. It's
Good.
Half capacity. Okay. The tables are all 6 feet or more apart. All servers and anyone walking through the restaurant have to be wearing face coverings and gloves. And so they're trying to, you know, keep the experience. The experience, but also considering the safety of their guests and also of their entertainers. And so,
good.
But it's a really interesting world to figure out. And so, like, we're just trying to make the best of it, like, eat, drink, and be merry, right? So, please keep a lookout for that. I'll be posting stuff about that soon. And I'm also participating in this wonderful thing thrown on by Pros and Cons Cosplay. It is October 10th, and I will send you the full information to post about it if anyone's interested. But it is it's like a digital convention for cosplayers and creators of color. And we're talking. There's a series of panels, and it's all talking about what it means to be person of color cosplaying and being part of nerddom in this current era, not just COVID, but like, you know, everything that's happening. Sure. And my particular panel is on October 10th and it's at 4 p.m. and it's discussing knowing your worth as a creator and as a creator of color, and how to navigate sort of dealings and like commissions and contracts and things like that. And like,
and they picked you to know your worth?
You know, choices. You know, I'm not a dollar hooker. I'm just kidding.
No, she's worth a buffalo nickel.
I'm a madam from 1918, apparently.
Yes.
But like, actually, yes, I have wanted to get into historical costuming for a while, but that's another podcast. If you're all interested, I will send you the information to Ian and Chris so that they can post about it and people can find out more about it. But I think it's a really interesting opportunity for people to come together and discuss these things and to decide how you want to navigate your way through this wonderful world of cosplay that we all have.
Is there a website going to be? Is it like a Zoom thing? What is it
it's
exactly?
It's a Zoom thing. I will send you all the information because I don't have it all on the top of my
head. Okay.
So I will send that to you, but if anyone's interested. And I'm very excited to be a part of it. And I really thank you to Pros and Cons for thinking of me. And
that's fantastic. That sounds amazing.
Isn't that really cool?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other things that are happening. That's about it. I'm going to be posting a bunch of process this month because I'm stupid and I'm trying to get 2 full Disney looks done in like 3 weeks, so that should be fun for
that
me.
Sounds like a normal time for you
that
though.
Does sound like a normal time for me. Yes. I'm trying to get a Rapunzel out and a Yzma, so we'll see how that happens.
It's a lot happening.
I know, it's a lot. Well, Yzma is going to be a little bit less clothing. Yzma. Yep. That's part of the gag, so
and
like
you've
we'll
got
see
some. You've got some new content coming up that we did last night.
That's true. I'm so excited. We do have some new content for another Castle Creations. Are we allowed to say what it is?
Or, well, it'll be up by the time this podcast goes up.
I mean, like, I'm very excited. We did some spooky lady content because it is spooky season for
because
all of us.
We do an annual Halloween shoot.
Which makes me so happy.
I know.
I don't know if we told this to Ian, but like, we didn't plan to ever have like an annual Halloween / fall suit but we've done it like for the past 5 years.
Oh wow.
I wonder if it's just because, well, A, like this time when we did the spooky ladies idea, it's just because we are all just itching for a con and wanted to make something. But also it just has become this like amazing tradition that I love, and I'm very excited that we got to do one this year. And we're all just like different spooky ladies and all black. And it was the first time, if you look at these photos when they go out there, it was the first time that we all had matching wigs.
Yeah.
we've
never all had the same color hair before.
Never. And it's just so funny to think about because like we've been doing this for a minute. And so just to be like, just to look around and be like, are we all really, really coordinated at this moment? It was a really fun time. And also the fact that, you know, we were walking around in South Park in Lawrence, and like we're just like dressed like a really fancy coven. And like I just want to know what people were thinking. We looked great. Like I was very excited. So like
just a typical day in Lawrence.
Just a typical day in Lawrence. Yeah.
Just like a typical. So you know, just casting spells.
Chris, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at ChrisJaded. That's Jaded with an AD. And on the Twitter sphere at the Dirt Witch.
And I'm on Twitter, IR Turner. I am on Twitter, yes. And then you can find me on Instagram at House of Turner Cosplay. It's HAUS. And also our podcast is on Twitter at Echo Station Cast. Follow us, retweet us, give us some love. Maybe in the next few weeks, Chris and I will see if we can set up like a Zoom thing where we play Squadrons. I don't know.
Oh,
maybe.
That would be fun.
No, we should. That'd be fun.
I don't know. We'll see. But in the meantime, guys, you know, stay happy, stay healthy, stay aware, register to vote. I don't know.
Yes,
sure.
Vote.
Yes, everyone go vote.
Everybody go register to vote.
Because this is how democracy dies, with thunderous applause.
With thunderous applause.
Yes. And then may the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
And with your spirit.